Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the N+1 studios overlooking beautiful downtown Frankfurt. In this podcast, we explore the world of endurance multisport. If it has to do with swimming, biking, running, or any combination of the three, we are there. This week, our podcast is sponsored by 3Sport Endurance Coaching. 3SE is committed to all our athletes, no matter where they are in their athletic journey, whether they're brand new or to one or all three of the triathlon sports, or if they're experienced competitors. 3SE can develop a training plan to meet that athlete's needs and get them up to the next level. If you're looking for a coach, check them out at go3sport.com. This week, we're doing things a little differently. I'm Linda Word, and my co-host is Brian Schenkenfelder. And Brian's family went through a pretty traumatic experience this weekend. And although it's not really triathlon related, it kind of speaks to some of the benefits of being healthy and fit, no matter, you know, what you do. And we do talk about fitness, but this event really made an impact. So anyway, so Brian, let's let you go ahead and tell our listeners exactly what happened on Friday evening this past week.
I made the news as the Frankfurt man.
You are the Frankfurt man. We're laughing now, but so why are you the Frankfurt man now?
Good times. Well, we had an interesting event up here on the ridge line overlooking downtown Frankfurt. We're going to bed, or I was in bed. It's been long weeks teaching Alex. It's a Friday night.
Professor Brian was tired.
The school, it's not the schooling that's been beginning to wear on me. It's the getting up 4 or 5 hours before school to do my stuff. And then going to bed late and getting like 4 hours of sleep that is beginning to wear on me just a little bit, should say. But that's okay. I mean, that's part of life, part of the COVID-19. One of those stories that, what have you been doing for COVID-19? I've been teaching and getting up early.
And then I've been sleeping all weekend.
Yeah, trying to sleep and catch up on the weekends. But then I decided Friday night would be a good time to top all those other stories that everybody else has for COVID-19.
Yeah, this is definitely the top story that I've heard.
I was up in the bedroom. I was just doing some light reading, winding down. It was fairly late at night still. It was 11. I made it pretty late that night. The wife and son, they had made their, starting to meander upstairs. My wife was at the window out looking. We could hear this, someone was laying on their horn, which is always odd. That's not how most people drive. Most people don't drive with their horn depressed.
Leaning in, especially, you know, on country roads. I mean, you guys are in the city limits, but it's, you know, you don't have close neighbors and,
no,
you know, you're not in like the middle of downtown or something in traffic.
And even in traffic, people will lay on their horn, but they usually let off after 5, 10, 15 seconds. This is continuing. This person was driving up our driveway, honking his horn, pulls up, and to give a picture of my house, the driveway comes up and then turns 90 degrees into the garage area. And then there's a little bit of yard between the driveway and the front of our house.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled into the driveway aspect of it, gets out without his shirt on.
You're still in the house, right?
I'm still in the house. I'm hanging the bed. My wife's like, hey, there's this dude coming up the driveway. So I'm like going and grabbing my gun and putting on some clothes to go outside and figure out, well, what's going on? That's really all I care about. What's going on?
Does this person need help?
Why is this person being jacknut?
Yeah.
Well, I was going down there. This guy sees my wife in the window and gives her some lewd sign.
Nice.
And that's always good. I walk out and the dude's sitting there. He's got kind of shoulder length hair and he's looks like he's looking around in the house or something. It was kind of weird.
Okay.
And he kind of comes out. He sees me, gets back in his car, and he starts to back up. And I'm like, is there anything I can help you with? He probably didn't hear me. He'd already been in his car.
Right.
Listened to some loud music. And he drives off.
Blaring the horn?
Blaring the horn.
Okay.
I roll in, and my wife, she was outside because she wasn't sure. He kind of backed in awkward, and we have some bushes and stuff, make sure he didn't hurt anything over there. And she comes back in a minute or two later, and he's like, he's still out there blaring his horn. So we walk out there outside, and you can hear this car driving with its horn, just depressed, through neighborhoods around our house.
Good gracious.
Like, that is so weird.
What is this guy
and
doing?
It's always wild. I ran across a lady today that lives in our neighborhood. I didn't meet her here. I was going to pick up a bike, and she was visiting her sister.
Okay.
And you know, I was like, yeah, did you hear that horn by 11 o'clock? Yeah, I heard that. Like, well, this is the guy we're talking about here. You know? Uh-huh. And I know that Jenny knows some people that live over there, and one guy had a ring, and he went like two or three times around their neighborhood. He caught it on film.
Oh, wow.
Of the car just circling their neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
After listening to this car go around for a little bit, it seemed like he was getting further away.
Did you all call the police at that point?
Oh, that's right. Jenny did call the police.
Yeah, that's like, what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, he left, and they're like, well, what kind of car was it? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was blue. Both of us saw that. And she's like, can you just have a car come up here and just...
Yeah, trying to figure out why this guy is...
Yeah, just roll around and just make sure nothing weird is going on.
Because this is weird.
Because this is a unique event. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. I go back inside. Jenny finally comes back inside, and we're upstairs. About 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. I don't know the exact time. I think it was about 20 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny looks outside, and she sees a car coming back up our driveway. Again, our driveway is a couple hundred yards, so you're not
your driveway
just accidentally coming up our driveway.
Well, and you're at the end of the road. I mean, you know, if you're coming down here...
Right, my house is very hard to find. A lot of people don't know where my house even exists.
And they're like, is that the driveway? You know,
it's the only house on a dead end, and I have a long driveway.
Yeah.
We see the car coming back up, again. I'm like, oh my God. Go grab my firearm, go back down. This time I'm a little more... what's going on. So I'm a little more cautious as I go outside. I'm going down my I'm going down my sidewalk. I have about a 40-foot sidewalk that gets to the...
kind of like the first section of driveway.
Yeah,
I guess, first section of your driveway. Yeah,
I've got like two sections. I've got a weird layout. This time I'm a little more cautious and a little more, what's going on? This is strange. The guy sees me in the car. At least I assume he saw me. And he turns the car towards me, which means that he had to drive through the grass between my two driveways to get the car lined up with me.
Okay.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, well, that's strange. And he starts coming towards me. I think he's just trying to be a macho dude, and he's just kind of bluffing. But I start retreating, and this time the gun comes out forward. I have it in a forward, but it's still down around below my waist. It's pointed down. But I'm ready to, if somebody jumps out and starts coming at me, I'm ready. But I'm backing up to the house because he starts coming towards me. And I get up close to the house because I'm like, okay, he's not going to try to run into me next to the house. The house is kind of a backstop that will keep him from advancing much further.
Right.
And we'll see what he does. Well, he ends up gunning it. And I couldn't tell how fast he was going. My wife said he was moving. I would assume he was probably doing 25, 30 by the time he got to me.
Yeah, fairly short.
And I'm 2 feet in front of the house.
Jeez.
Once he got closer, there was no way I could use my gun and stop him. So my instincts are now to protecting myself. So my hands kind of drop down to where the car is coming. And I'm not really sure why. My guess is to kind of give myself a launching point or some way. And I don't remember exactly what happens next. I assume I jumped because I'm not dead.
I'm so glad you're sitting here. This podcast would be really boring if you weren't.
Yeah, it would be kind of a dull show with me in a casket.
Yeah.
I don't know if I made it on the hood and then jumped from kind of a step and jump.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my thought at first, is I may have like kind of stepped up and jumped off the hood. Because I landed a pretty good distance away from where I was. The car ended up coming in. It was all weird. I remember pieces. I remember the car coming at me fast. I remember as I was in the air looking back and watching it slam into my house.
Oh, my God.
The next thing I remember is landing on my feet, kind of, and then falling. And I had this weird, I was mad because I was falling. I assume this is all total shock
at
having fallen and hit the ground.
Yeah. That's what you're mad about? I'd be a little more upset about the dude that's in your house with the car.
Well, at the time,
it's not a garage.
At the time, I'm flying through the air. Yeah. I kind of see him. I saw that. I land. I assume I was going to land on my feet, I guess. I don't know. At this point, there's a little disconnect.
Yeah.
I end up on my side, the passenger side of the car, about a foot from the car.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is, I can't see the dude. Mm. Where is he?
Yeah. Holy cow.
I pop up as fast as I can. Now the gun is pointed in the direction of the car and if there's someone coming at me.
Right.
At this point, he is already out his car and he's run. He's starting to run. And I think he like slips, but then he just takes off running. I don't have any shoes on. Actually, I don't have a shirt either. I just came out in like some long pants.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was coming up the driveway. There wasn't a lot of time.
I mean, this is the second time it's been.
Second time he's been up.
You're not going to dress up for, perpetrator, yeah.
I can't really chase him. I'm barefoot. I can't like fire a weapon because he's running away from me. That would be
And he was bad. Running down the driveway like the same way he came.
He's running the way he came, away from the house. At this point, I don't want him to be able to sneak up on me. I back up, up to the house and just scan. My problem is his car is still running. His door is ajar, so it's creating light. His music is blaring.
Yeah.
I've got the lights, some of my floodlights are on. I can't see more than 50, 60 feet from the house.
Right.
I'm worried he's going to come back around, sneak up, and maybe try to attack me.
Yeah.
My real fear was that he was going to go around the house
and
maybe come in a back door.
Yeah, because you can't be... I mean, this house is it's very long, like a ranch house.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of...
A lot of space to move around.
Yeah.
And because it's dark, I couldn't see him if he tried to go around the house.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife yells down, are you okay? Are you Brian? And I'm like, I'm okay. Call 911.
Yeah, because all she saw, she couldn't see... being at the second story window looking down,
she like saw the car there.
She saw the car
accelerate
and heard it hit the house, I'm sure.
Well, she said that she saw the car accelerating and was coming quick. She tried to get to the door of the bedroom to say, hey, he's coming at you. She was trying to warn me.
Oh, okay.
She didn't make it more than three or four steps. The car hit the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Shook the house, from what I understand. Both her and my son said the house shook
the
impact. The car was moving. Like I said, I didn't have a good estimate because he was coming straight at me.
Right.
The lights, I could barely see the car. I couldn't really see much
as
it was coming at me. It was moving at a pretty quick pace as far as it lodged into our house as well.
Thank God. Okay.
The reason she was yelling is she thought I was dead. She thought I'd gotten caught up in the car and the car had smashed me into the house.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I'm glad you answered her quickly. Good job.
Well, I'm like, I'm okay. Call 911. And then later she was like, come in back into the house. You know, I guess she had called the cops at that point and she told them, hey, he has a gun. And they're like, well, you got to get him back in the house and get that gun away from him before the cops get there. And she's like sheltering in place with my son up in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's really dumb advice, lady.
Yeah, no.
I guess she was worried that I would have the guns when the cops showed up.
Okay. And that the cops would mistake you for...
As the perpetrator.
Perpetrator.
Like, why would I be that stupid to wield my gun at a cop? That seems like a good way to get shot.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of really stupid people out there that also like run their car into people's houses while the guy's owner of the house is standing there. So, you know.
And that's when I yelled back, I don't know where he is.
Okay.
Because I couldn't see him anymore.
Right.
I didn't know if he'd run off or if he was trying to come back at me at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so she thought he was in the house.
What?
So they like go shelter in a in a closet. My son is apparently shaking at this.
Well, yeah.
And unfortunately, it was a few minutes before the cops got there. It was like 4 or 5 minutes before the cops got there.
Yeah.
It was, and I could once I saw them pulling up the driveway, I knew it would be 10 or 15 seconds before they got up to my house.
Right.
I went ahead and put the gun inside the house, waited for them to come in. I walked out to talk to them and said, hey.
I'm
the homeowner. This guy ran. We went from there as far as reporting to the police. And it was crazy. They ended up capturing him about 5 or 6 minutes later.
Now, did they caught him after Because it was one set of police, it was Frankfurt City Police that came here, and it was sheriffs.
Well, the sheriffs helped. Apparently what happened, I'm kind of still piecing some of this together.
Yeah.
One of the first officers to come up here saw him pop out on the other side of the park.
Okay.
Over by...
what, maybe a half a mile away from here?
About three quarters of a mile away from here. And I guess he initiated contact, and the guy must have run from that.
Okay.
They ended up arresting him back over by Browns Ferry. Well, they ended up capturing him back over by my house.
Oh, wow.
The sheriff department are the ones that got him and pinned him down.
Okay.
The arresting officer was obviously Frankfurt PD because we're in the city limits.
Okay. So they saw him and he ran again?
I assume he ran again, which was fleeing, eluding the officers.
Okay.
They pinned him down, the sheriffs did, and he grabbed one of the sheriff's thumbs and tried to bend it backwards. May have sprained it, I think, from what they were saying.
That would hurt.
And that was...
that's a...
that's where he gets the assault of an officer charge and all of it.
That's a... yeah.
So the police are up here. They get my ID. They start asking me about what had happened, and I kind of relate the story. And they're like, well, we captured the guy. Can you ID him? And I'm like, okay. So they put me in the back of the cop car to drive to the end of the driveway.
Wow.
I get out. They have the cop car on him with the light, so I guess he can't see me.
Right.
For the identification process. He's kind of all bloody, I assume. When they tackled him or whatever to get him down, he may have hit his face. Or I don't know. He may have hit his face on the steering
wheel.
Who
knows?
For all I know how all this happens.
Yeah.
He's all bloody, but it kind of looks like him. It, you know, from 30 or 40 feet, it's like...
Pretty sure?
It looks like him. He's got long hair. He's wide, middle build. It looks like him. Yeah, sure. What's your confidence? 8 out of 10? That's what I told him. It looks like him, yeah. Well, I'm 30, 40 feet away, and
right.
I really didn't...
yeah.
We didn't, like, talk to each other for more than... at all in this whole process.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And it was wild. The firemen came up and they had heard that someone had run their car into a house, and they were like, oh, someone lost control of their car and crashed into a house.
So they're looking for injured driver.
And they came up and they're like, well, they start coming up our driveway, and they thought someone maybe had gone down a hill when they kind of came over by us, because it's real hilly right around here.
Mm-hmm.
That someone had gone through a corner and lost control. And they get to my house and it kind of goes back up. And like, well, that's not it. And you kind of come in. They're like, well, this is different.
No. Car didn't go off road. Well, it did go off road. It went into
off road to get through my house. It was just so strange. So strange.
Absolutely bizarre.
Then the cops, after a while, I had some cuts on the back and on my foot from glass shards that
you've got a lot of windows where
we have a lot of windows.
He didn't hit a solid wall, he hit windows
and some wall, and the windows shattered. I had one little puncture wound in the back. They were like, you can go to the hospital, you might get a stitch. I'm like, yeah, it's okay, I'll stay. But we can take you to the hospital if you need to. I'm like, no, I'm good. So now I had some other superficial wounds.
Were you crazy sore the next day?
No, I had some soreness in the back, and after I rode, my knee hurt a little bit. But none of it was more than I would get after, like, a really hard race.
Mm-hmm.
The soreness you get after a really hard race wasn't any worse than that.
I mean, just when unexpected things happen to your body, sometimes, you know, just things start hurting.
Well, yeah, and there was some soreness where I got tweaked. I'm sure I fell pretty hard.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it was in the grass and not on concrete.
Right, because that concrete ledge would have really hurt.
And it had been kind of raining.
Mm-hmm.
It was softer, so that kept me from probably sustaining a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he was able to accelerate was because one of his tires was on my sidewalk.
You
still see the tires.
Yeah, that's pretty... you can see the track, and it's, you know, 3-4 days later now.
Yeah.
It's
pretty distinct. He definitely hit the gas pedal. And we were sitting there, and I was writing out what I saw. They wanted me to write it out, and he was reading over it, and he's like, what do you mean you had your feet on? Because I was like, well, I jumped up on the hood to get away. And he's like, what do you mean you jumped up on the hood? I'm like, yeah, he was, like, coming right at me, and I had to evade.
Yeah,
otherwise,
I wouldn't be talking to you, dude.
Well, I guess he didn't realize. He thought I may have been over to the side, and the guy just ran his car.
Oh, but you jumped out of the way, and the guy just kept on going.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the guy just kept going into the house, but that really wasn't it. I was pretty backed up.
Right.
And he's like, oh. And then all of a sudden, the charges changed from wanton endangerment to attempted murder.
Yeah. The original arrest thing that we saw said murder, and I was like, I hope they're going to change that because you're still standing here.
Do they know something I don't know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not a spirit.
And that was, eventually they left about 1 a.m. We kind of just put some cardboard up to cover things for the night so bugs and stuff wouldn't escape, just to cover, because her dad came over. That's and he right. helped us put some, just some sheets up,
mm-hmm.
just to keep bugs and stuff like that yeah. out, or raccoons. We got our raccoon coming
resident
around.
Resident raccoon, yeah.
From getting in, it, just basic.
Yeah, just for the
keep
night.
The things out. And I was tired. I was ready to go to bed, but I tried to stay up as late as I could until yeah. other people kind of fell asleep just to.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But eventually I fell asleep. I was tired.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Probably the come down from the.
The adrenaline.
The adrenaline probably didn't help with that, trying to stay up.
Yeah, no, because I'm...
And then Saturday morning, I guess you had heard about it, or you were asking... I don't remember how you heard about it.
Jenny had texted me after I left... Well, I texted you all, because I had been here until about, 9:30 or something that night. Glad I didn't have that third glass of wine, or I would have been...
Here for the whole, you would have been here for the festivities.
I would have been here for it all. So I'm really glad I only had 2 glasses of wine. And she had texted me. I texted her, you know, that I got home. And she said, hey, you know, I guess a tree had fallen and you guys could see where the power was out downtown. A couple transformers had blown. And so the next morning, I don't remember if I texted Jenny first or she texted me. I think she maybe texted me and said, hey, you missed a lot of excitement. And I figured, oh, I had something to do with, you know, the power outage or something. And she said, no, she said this guy was driving around honking his horn and came up the driveway, you know, about 11:30 last night. And I was like, oh, man, y'all need to get a big dog and stop all this crazy people from coming in your property. And then she was like, and then she continued the story. And I'm like, what? What is like 4 different text messages. And I went out in the living room and I told my husband, I'm like, oh my God, this crazy man tried to run over Brian and drove his car into the house and showed him the picture that Jenny sent me of the car in the house. And he just looks at it and he said, text Jenny back that I'll be there in about 30 minutes. I'm going to grab my tools and we'll come button up the house. And I was like, okay. So I'm like, you know, she was like, no. And I'm like, yes, we're on our way. So I haven't driven that fast, you know, conservatively to get here in quite a while. Cause I'm, holy cow.
So what did you think when you first saw it?
I flipped. I mean, I was like, what, you know, the man, well, I mean, you know, the quote, the man tried to run over Brian, and I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I know that this area, for whatever reason, you guys are in a place that, you know, it's a very nice neighborhood, but you've got these pockets of wackadoodles that seem to migrate towards you. I'm so
we're
sorry.
We're like a wackadoodle magnet.
You got some wackadoodles around here, and, you know, because, you know, it's a beautiful home. It's like the best view in Frankfurt. I don't know what the why it's attracting crazy people.
It's only, yeah, because my in-laws lived here for years and had nothing.
Jenny grew up here.
Yeah, there was never anything. It's only been the last few years that we've had some interesting incidents on the property.
But, yeah, I mean, I was just incredibly relieved that, you know, you all were okay. And, you know, I'm glad Alex is all right. And I know, you know, I've kind of, you know, working with kids, and I just know my daughter, I guess, was about the same age Alex is when we had just a series of just horrible things kind of happen. You know, my in-law's house caught on fire. The school that I worked at, I was the equestrian director, and the barn burned down, and we lost 7 of the 8 horses, and, you know, just, you know, a sister-in-law got cancer, and she was very young, and, well, like I said, about Alex's age, so about 8 or 9. And several months later, I realized that she had pulled all her eyebrow hairs out. Like, oh, whoa, okay, we're reacting to stress. Shoot, mommy needs to pay attention. So that's why I keep talking to your kid. You just never know how people are going to react, and especially children, to stress.
To stress and, like that, because it was pretty a stressful event.
Yeah.
Your husband came over to help us board it up, and then he realized it was a bigger hole than he probably thought.
He kind of went, well, I mean, he knew how big the hole was, but when he realized just how much damage, because you had electrical stuff because you've got the heater there, and he had hit that, and there was water, and he was, you know, he got the electric turned off, he got that safe.
Yeah, we got that done the night before. Yeah. Okay. Well, the electric he got.
Yeah.
We got the electric turned off.
Got the electric turned off, and so then he called some contractors, friends, and they got here.
Kind of cleaned it up.
Yeah.
We got it buttoned up and boarded up.
They had to get a truck and put a strap on it to pull your wall back so that it was at least some, because you guys had to use that hallway.
Yeah, it was, that was the hallway to upstairs. That's the only way upstairs.
Right.
And the wall had been pushed almost all the way across. There was only about maybe a half a foot.
Yeah.
Between the wall there, and there's glass everywhere. It was not a good thing. Fortunately, yeah, he knew some people that could. We got it cleaned up, got some cardboard on it. My father-in-law came back, and he put up a temporary gate. We just put up some wire down there.
Some cable.
Some cable.
And a couple posts, yeah.
A couple posts as a temporary gate. Yeah, in the future, we're going to put in a much more fortified gate in the coming weeks.
Yeah. I think that is very warranted. I wonder if you can get insurance to pay for that. So what's going on with the wackadoodle?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. So all of Saturday happens. We've kind of starting to deal with the aftermath of our house, and we're like, well, what is this dude? What's his story? How did this dude end up here? Because we found out he was from Richmond, just from the discussion with the cops.
So he's from like 30, 45 minutes away.
At least. An hour.
Yeah.
Because Lexington's 30 minutes away, and Richmond's on the other side of Lexington.
Yeah. And Lexington's pretty big, so yeah.
We're just like, how did he end up here? Sunday, we didn't hear back from the cops. They were going to come back to us. Apparently, it took them a couple of days for that to happen, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
They were nice and good about it. Sunday, my parents came out and surveyed the scene, and that afternoon, the cops came out and they told us about what he did and said.
Yeah. So yeah, what exactly did he say? This is great.
Well, the best part of it is I couldn't remember what the cops said, and that following Monday, this started hitting the local papers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the best quotes on this guy come from. So the police come and tell us Sunday that he's like, yeah, he pretty much admitted that he tried to kill you. And what the paper had it. He admitted to wrecking his car into the home because Jesus told him to kill him being me. According to the arrest report, police said that he told him that he told them several times that he had to kill the people in the home because they were the enemy.
Okay, so you weren't the devil, you were the enemy.
Yeah, he also repeated, it is finished, I am now the Messiah.
Oh my. Well.
But he needed to kill them because we were the enemy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever sang Jesus Loves Me to this dude when he was a little boy. So he missed those Sunday school lessons, didn't he?
Yeah, this guy was an interesting piece. He was obviously on something, I think. I think he's trying to go for insanity at this point. We'll see how well that works out for him. Apparently, this guy's kind of a piece. We found out some things about him. We still don't know a ton. I knew from that night that he had been arrested once or twice and about a month earlier for speeding and DUI in Lexington. I think he was doing like 60 over or something like that in Lexington.
Oh my God. Yeah, because normally you don't get arrested for a speeding ticket.
No, you don't get known unless you're going like really high speeds.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that this whole COVID shutdown thing was not going well for him. And he kind of spiraled out of control. And yeah, almost became a victim of COVID-19.
I wonder if you would have been in the COVID statistics. Let's not. I'm so glad we're never going to find that out.
Oh yeah, no, God. It was
wow.
Yeah, and they found some marijuana and a pipe inside his vehicle. So he'd been doing some drugs. I think he was drunk too.
Okay.
I don't think they got a toxicology report because he refused.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, okay. He was the Messiah, but he was smart enough to refuse a toxicology report on him.
Okay.
And he was smart enough to get up and run after he wrecked into the house.
I like that he is charged with fleeing the scene of an accident and not rendering aid.
Failure to render aid or assistance, yes.
Yes, I thought that was great. I was like, he tried to run you over.
Yeah, he got charged with attempted murder, operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol or drugs, first degree, wanton endangerment. He got two counts of that because that's my wife and son.
Mm-hmm.
Wanton endangerment, it comes from the fact that he hit the house and the house potentially could have collapsed, injuring or killing my family members, which is, yeah, that's fun. Let's see. First degree criminal mischief, leaving the scene of an accident, failure to render aid, third degree assault of a police officer, and resisting arrest.
Hopefully.
Hopefully we won't be seeing him for a while.
He got arraigned Monday, correct?
Yes, he got arraigned Monday.
And did you all sign the paper or whatever so you'll be notified if he posts bond?
I don't know how all that works. Okay. Jenny's been kind of following that more than me.
Okay.
The bond was set at $50,000 and they don't do property bonds here, so he's going to have to raise that as cash.
Okay.
They didn't think he would have that type of money to do it.
Okay.
But he did get his own private attorney.
He got a private attorney and he drives a nice car.
He did drive a fairly nice car. It's interesting. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he won't get out. That would be a little... That'd be a little awkward. That would probably lead to some sleepless nights in me.
Yeah, that would be a little distressing.
Sitting, watching doors and stuff, or at least barricading myself in the house so that if he did try to enter.
Yeah, you got new cameras ordered yet?
We're slowly fortifying more than we were after we got robbed.
Yeah. I'll tell you, for a while there, I'm like thinking, since I've met you, you've been robbed. You had a building on your property burn. That was earlier this year. And now, somebody's tried to kill you and run their car in your house. I'm like...
Well, things coming through.
Oh, I hope that's it for me knowing you. for the rest of my relationship with your family, everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Yeah, yay. No, we're gonna fortify up. We'll put a real serious, more serious gate up there.
Mm-hmm.
If you come through that gate... You're not going to make it to the end of the driveway without some defenses being engaged.
Yeah.
This was the first time that I'm not going to let something like that happen to me again.
I mean, I don't, there's...
I will definitely be more cautious because occasionally we do get people that randomly come up on a night in the summer and times. A lot of times I'll go out and, hey...
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. The worst was when a moving van pulled up ours.
Oh, good
I guess
God.
They came down and couldn't really turn around. They came up our driveway.
Great.
And I had took them a while to get them turned around. We've had some other fun stories. That was one of the weirder ones.
Yeah. Let's make your driveway so you cannot turn around.
A lot of it's just keeping cars out. Mm-hmm. That will probably deter most of what we would potentially see.
I want to buy an old police car and just park it down there. Because the road past your driveway, the city has to still be able to go down there.
Yeah.
Well, heck, give them the keys or whatever and just, if they need to move it because they got to get down there, they can move it. But other than that, just park the sucker down.
A lot of it's just having a gate. That's
That
keeps people from coming onto your property.
Usually people that are looking for trouble are not looking, they're looking for easy trouble.
Right. Well, I mean, and if you've... there's a lot. I've got a lot of the honeysuckle bush, the invasive stuff. And if you don't come in up that driveway, that little section, it's actually kind of hard to get up to our house because there's so much of that underbrush. It's kind of a natural barrier.
If you're on foot.
Yeah. If you're on foot.
Yeah.
And if you're driving,
you need to plant something that's spiky. Multiflora rose bushes. They grow like crazy and they're actually kind of pretty and smell good, but man, they got some prickles.
Maybe we'll plant those around the gate. We'll see what the gate looks like when we get it installed.
Okay.
The
Jenny and I have been picking out pretty gates.
Great. There goes the paycheck.
Sorry.
Oh. And then of course Monday that's when we also posted on social media about the event. And
yes.
I've had like a ton of people call and provide support, bring alcohol.
Swim team, that was great.
Swim team brought alcohol. And it was good. Just, everybody's looking out and, hey, thankful that nothing happened.
Yeah.
And that's cool. So yesterday was spent just kind of talking to people and as they found out what the heck happened and filling in the story and everything else on it.
Yeah, I purposely
it was kind of cool.
Was not going to put anything on social media, of course. It's not my story to tell, that's for sure. And
that's the whole thing is we even discussed that Monday morning, should we post it? And I was like, well, we might as well and just let the news get out that way.
Right.
and because eventually it was going to get out anyway, because parents knew and they were going to start telling people, and
right,
it was going to get out.
I mean, I had, you know, obviously I had told people, but, you know, it's like, this is not something that, and people that know you, you know, or Jenny, you know, that I'm close to, and to say, hey, you know, keep them in your thoughts, because this was kind of bizarre. You got a big old guardian angel after you.
Yeah, my wife's still freaked out about it. I'm much better than she is. I have a tendency to kind of move on easier than she does sometimes.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, this is...
It is weird to think that someone tried to kill you. That is a very unique feeling that most people don't get to experience.
Right. Yeah, you don't, I mean, not very many people have a car, you know, rushing towards them.
Or any type of weapon being hurled at them at rapid rates.
Yeah.
It was definitely interesting, because it could have ended up badly. If I had tripped, if I had frozen, I would have gotten run over.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Do I survive? Am I just get broken bones? What happens?
Yeah.
And then if I'm disabled like that, does the guy run?
Right.
Or does he get inside and go into the house and
continue
his work as the Messiah? Yeah, because I don't know if he saw my firearm or not. I don't know if he was running before he saw it, or if he saw the firearm and started running. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He may have just, oh, crap, and then...
Yeah, he may have just, like, flipped out and realized
once he hit the house,
had a moment of, oh, what did I just
do? He's like, I got to run, I'm in trouble, and maybe he just ran. I don't know.
Yeah, let's not talk to mind out.
No. You know, so I had a firearm, and... You know, and you maybe that kept him from advancing in. I mean, it was 5 or 6 minutes before the cops showed up. If he had, you know, if I had been down, he would have had plenty of time to do whatever else.
Right.
And the rest. And the fact that I could get him away.
Well, the fact that, I mean.
Or could have stopped him, even if he'd come after me after that. That was a big deal for me. You get in these situations and you realize. I don't really want to go put it, but you realize the advantage of like having a firearm in the situation, because it does take the cops some time to get to you.
Right. Well, and having a firearm and also just knowing your own capabilities. I mean, the fact that you were able to think fast enough to get out of the way of the car. I don't know. I might have done it a little sooner. But, well, granted, he might have turned.
I thought he was bluffing. I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, who thinks that they're...
Especially once I backed up to the house. I didn't think he was going to run into the house.
Yeah.
And try to go up against the house.
Because that's going to hurt him. Did his airbag go off?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay. That surprises me.
Yeah.
Because he hit hard to do that much damage
maybe
to your house.
I really don't know if it did or not.
I don't know. I'll have to look, because I know there's some pictures. I
don't know how.
Because I'm wondering if that's how his face got bloody too.
But he stops. His stop wasn't abrupt.
Oh.
Because you understand, he went through the house and then stopped. So the house gave quite a bit before he came to arrest.
Okay, the house didn't really stop him. He stopped. Do you think he stopped?
No, the house stopped him, but he hit that first wall that slowed him down.
Oh.
It's not like he hit a solid wall and came to a stop quickly.
Okay.
He stopped over 7 or 8 feet, which may have been enough to not deploy the airbags.
Okay.
Because I pushed 4 or 5 feet into my house.
Oh, my God. Reconstructing stuff like this, too, is just crazy. No, it's a good thing that, I mean, you are as healthy as you are.
Well, I mean, that's where you can really kind of bring it back to sport. There's two things I kind of took away from this whole incident that I take back to the fact that I am a triathlete, the fact that I do train regularly. The two things is, one, I'm in decent shape. I've got good agility. Mountain biking, swimming, all of these things give you the ability to move in space and move quickly in space and be able to react to things that happen to you. And that's probably a lot of the reason I was able to evade the car that was coming at me.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of it was instinct, but the fact that I'm not massively obese, I'm not...
Yeah.
I do sports like mountain biking and swimming where you have a lot of variability and you have to be able to adjust.
I mean,
And I'm fit, right.
You know.
And like I said, I do mountain biking. That's a sport where you have to be able to react fairly quickly to ever-changing environments.
True.
And just having that ability to react quickly to things probably was one of the big reasons and to be able to move in space in general.
Yeah. Well, and just, I mean, when you're cycling, you get, on the roads, you're very aware of your surroundings. I mean, most cyclists are that you know, or staying upright. And I mean, having those reactions when cars are coming and stuff, like, you know, when you're on a bike, which is so funny, because how many people have asked you, was he on a bike?
Well, I mean, that's one of the hilarious things about that. If a car was going to try to kill me, it would have happened on my bike, not on my front stoop.
I've been asked by at least four people, you know, was he on a bike?
I think it would happen on a bike and not on my front porch.
That was kind of strange.
The other thing, as I've been thinking about this, I was surprised when this was all done, because the one thing you don't really realize when a situation like this occurs is how you're going to react to that situation. I was surprisingly calm throughout. Even when he was driving at me fastly, I was going through my options. I made my decision to hop out of the way at some point. Now, some of that was instinct, I'm sure. Right. When I came up, my thoughts were, where is he? Shelter. How do I defend? Fairly calm, well-rationed thoughts for the time and the adrenaline and everything else that's flowing through you. I never put my finger on the trigger, which is one of the things that when you learn gun safety, that's the big thing. The only time you put your finger on the trigger is to pull it. So even when I had it kind of pointed up, after I popped up, I didn't have my finger on the trigger. And I was consciously aware of that, which means that I was thinking somewhat clearly.
Right.
You're never going to be thinking 100% in a situation like that.
Yeah.
And that gets me back to thinking about, I wonder how much of my ability to focus in a pressure situation like that comes from triathlon training and racing. Because you think about racing, it's not a pressure, like a life and death type situation.
Correct.
But you're also, especially in those shorter races, you're under a lot of duress, physical duress, just from the amount of exertion you're doing.
Right.
You're coming into a transition area, and you're having to do four or five things when you're out of breath, when you're in a position where you're not have all those mental facilities readily available. Because there's times I've like run out of a transition area and forgot to do something. And a lot of that's because you're under so much duress.
Yeah.
And it's not like a life and death duress, but just duress from the amount of exertion you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, your body is pushing to the limits. You've been
You're under physical duress.
You're under physical duress. So,
and being able to make decisions racing and running and how your strategic decisions in a race.
Yeah.
When you're under that pressure, how much of that plays into it? The ability to focus while you're under duress, because a lot of being able to push yourself in sports is about focusing and what you're concentrating on, what you're doing here, being in the now. We talk a lot about the flow and being in the now. And during that whole situation, I was probably very much in the flow. That's why I was able to execute my thought as I was going through it. I didn't freeze.
You didn't freeze. You didn't.
And I was in the moment. I wasn't thinking about what just happened. I wasn't thinking about the future. I was thinking about what do I need to do right this moment. And that's very much what the training is. And you end up in uncomfortable situations on a bike going like 40, 50 miles down a hill. You focus on what you're doing and not the speeds and surrounding, and you can get through it. I go back and think about when we winter up in Cleveland and we went and swam in those 4 or 5 foot swells.
Yeah.
That was potentially a really scary situation.
Yes.
I was very uncomfortable, but I wasn't afraid because I was focused on swimming, sighting, focused on that next thing. And my ability to focus on that next thing in those challenging situations, I think may have paid off Friday night.
When it came down to life and death.
When it came down to life and death, I was able to execute, and it was because I was practiced at executing under duress. Now, it's a different type of duress, but stress is stress.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, your physical stress versus mental stress,
they're pretty
closely tied together.
Yeah. I mean, you can be exhausted just from mental stress.
Right.
Your body hasn't done anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that I hadn't trained myself to be able to execute in that situation by racing and doing a sport like triathlon and putting myself into difficult positions and having to focus and concentrate on what's next all the time. You're practiced making decisions in a situation where you're not used to, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that was that situation. It's interesting when you think about it.
It sure was. Oh, my God.
It's definitely
Well, Brian, we are just so glad that you're here and your family is safe and that you have plenty of alcohol to help you all get through. Don't give any to Alex.
Do I get to tell a couple jokes at least?
Yes, I sent you a great one today. Are you going to tell that one? I thought that was great. I'll have to find it.
I forgot that one already. Oh. I do have one, though. I'll have to find it. Where do bad rainbows go?
Don't know.
To prism.
That was horrible.
That was my prison joke for the day.
To prism.
No, the other joke I had, was the one that made me laugh, was the other day I bought a thesaurus. But when I got home and opened it, all the pages were blank. I can't find the words to describe how angry I am.
All right, so I found the one that I sent you because it was so funny. Somebody just threw a bottle of omega-3 capsules at me. I only have super fish oil injuries, but I'm lucky I wasn't krilled. That made me laugh way too hard today.
All good, man. You gotta have bad jokes to get through the down times.
What was
the crazy times?
Yesterday, I sent Jenny a video of my chicken riding my pony because I was like, you know what, you just need something just funny.
I've tried to laugh quite a bit over this. You can't change things. It's happened. I got to move on. I can't continue to focus on the past.
And I feel for you guys too, because now you have to go under construction. And I don't know which is worse, getting run over by a car or having your house under construction.
The real challenge is this is here we are. Fortunately, school ends this week.
Yes.
But we're all home. We're working. I'm trying to do school. We've got a lot on our plates right now. I know some people have been working from home and things have lightened up a lot for them. They don't have a lot of other responsibilities going on.
Yeah, you guys didn't get that.
But with a second grader who's going through school, and it's been a pretty rigorous schooling.
Yeah.
I've been pretty lit up. And now with this, there's been a lot of people been wanting their bikes fixed. And I've been inundated with a lot of things to do, and now this just adds on top of that, which in theory could be a lot more stress.
Yes.
Which we'll see how my wife handles all that additional stress. Usually I do pretty good with stress, but
I'd be planning a fall break vacation.
If we can go anywhere.
Yeah, by then. I don't know. You got a camper out there. You can go camping.
Yeah, go camp in the front yard.
Unplug everything and just... Go heck! You can go out in the farm on our house and just park the camper farm.
Yeah, well, they'll open up the parks at some point here soon for camping and things. The problem is, if you go to like a hotel, I'm not sure they're going to have the indoor pools open, which is what Alex really likes about the trips. And we can go camping and for a long weekend.
Go camping.
Or something.
Go down to Lake Cumberland or something. And swim in the lake.
I just can't broadcast it because I'll probably get robbed again. People know I'm going.
I'm not going to stay at your house when you go. You shouldn't broadcast.
I'm not going to tell anybody I'm going to go camping. I'll just tell y'all about it when I get back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We won't be broadcasting that.
Yes, no.
I'm just kidding.
I know a lot of people that don't. You know, it's like no vacation pictures until they get back. You know, and that's why people are.
I don't know if I have any money to go on vacation. Well, the house will get paid for.
The house is paid for.
Fortunately, the dude has insurance, so my insurance company can reclaim the money from his insurance
company. Your insurance company was pretty funny when they came out on Saturday. He was like, yeah, I don't need to take pictures. I'm sure you got plenty. And yeah, looking at that car, he's got insurance. It'll be fine. That's good.
And then he was like, yeah, he asked if we wanted to go stay at a hotel. And it's like, well, not really, because I don't want to leave the house open at this point for anybody else to come in. Fortunately, we got boarded up, and we probably could leave it and be okay at this point.
You probably could.
But people came through and said we were safe to live in, so we're just going to hang out here some more and enjoy doing what we do every day, which is nothing, or something like that, or a lot of stuff, or it all gets lost up in every day is Monday. We definitely did not have Groundhog Day last Friday, though.
No. Things changed. Wow. You know.
Now I want to go to a party where they have like a pot, like who has the strangest COVID story. Because I could be like, yeah, just go ahead and hand that money to me. I got the winner, man. I'm telling you, I got the strangest COVID story. Dude who Jesus told him to come kill me.
Yes. Yes.
And you who was the Messiah? The next round.
Oh, my God.
And how did he end up in my house? We're still trying to figure out how he was connected to this area. How does this random dude who lives an hour away, end up in my driveway trying to kill me.
I mean, how could he drive that far that messed up?
If I were to guess, he came up here, partied with some friends, got messed up, and this is what came out of it.
Yeah.
Or he came here to see some people, and they were like, no, go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last straw. Maybe he needed some social interaction. He tried to come up here. Maybe he was having trouble getting drugs in Lexington. I think drugs are a little bit harder to get now.
I've heard that, actually.
The supply chain's been messed up.
The manufacturing chain's been messed up.
And I know he's been to Frankfort before. Maybe he knew the drug dealers here, and he was coming up here to get some drugs. He got it. Got some bad wuju, whatever. ended up at my house, of all places. God, how does this happen? I feel like I live in Florida. I feel like a Florida story. This feels like a Florida story.
Nope.
With the strangeness of it. Because this is the thing you hear coming out of Florida. Florida always has the weirdest
stories. Weird places in California or something like that. Not Frankfort, Kentucky.
But no, I'm a Kentucky man now. I'm a Frankfort man.
You're the Frankfort man. That's
the Frankfort
man. So when you see the news and
over.
It says the Frankfort man, that's all right.
Oh, yeah. Go out and look up the story.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah.
May 15th, go look for the stories. It'll be in the paper. It made the Louisville news. I know that. It actually made the broadcast of the news, too.
Wow.
Well, and I understand why the media would go for it. It's such a great clickbait story. Dude thinks he tries to kill somebody because Jesus or God told him to.
Well, and also there's not too much else going on right now. So,
that's true.
You know,
all the crazies come out. And
crazy stories are great.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect clickbait because I would have probably clicked on the article.
Did they have the pictures of the car in the house?
I don't think they had any pictures of the car in the house.
Okay.
Most of it, I think, was just reading the police report.
Okay.
They built their story around the police report and his mugshot.
Yeah.
That was most of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I had seen, too. Wow.
Yeah, because we were never contacted by him.
Okay.
They didn't reach us to us for the story.
Yeah. I wonder, well, I don't know if your names, I'm glad your names weren't in this.
Well, no, they would never print the names.
Yeah, they never, the names of the victims, which is good. So, well, Brian, we're so glad you're here and that you guys are all okay.
It's been crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy,
so if you're looking for a coach, if you want to get more athletic so you can leap over cars.
And get the focus to deal under pressure.
Yeah.
Get into
focus.
Sport.
We do a lot of mental training with our clients and with ourselves. And it's obviously important.
Well, it's important for successful racing, and apparently it's important for surviving crazy people coming after you.
During COVID-19. Awesome. Well, listen, hopefully we're going to have a more, not as quite entertaining or traumatic stories next week for our podcast. So join us again next week and have a great week, everybody.